I've been told I have 15 minutes and I prepared a 20-minute talk, so I have to really sort of run through this quickly. But I should start off with my first disclosure, which is that today's my birthday, which is the...
Oh,
I can't think of anything more important for me to do than to...
Happy birthday, Walter.
Oh, well, thank you. That really made my day. Thank you. So anyway, I want to talk about this. Now, I want, you have to hide your ears, actually, right now, Martha, because, you know, we've talked about, or the conservatives have talked about single payer as sort of this left-wing socialist idea. We talk about the poor and disenfranchised. We've been typically critical of American businesses, and single payer is a radical idea. You don't want to do something like this. But let me rephrase this by saying that I believe single payer actually is a very centrist and mainstream idea that's really about jobs and families, that it really is sympathetic to American businesses, and in fact I would argue that it's patriotic to talk about single payer. So let me start about the Iron Triangle, which most of you talk about, which is that healthcare costs, and most people, when I show this slide to people, they're just sort of dumbfounded by this, by the fact that this year alone we will spend $2.7 trillion on healthcare, and this is a number you almost never hear about, although I did hear Tom Daschle say this in the beginning of his talk, which is that if you add up the money for the next decade, it's $36 trillion. So when you hear healthcare reform discussions, people say we're going to cut $140 billion over 10 years, and we think, wow, that sounds like a huge amount of money. You know what? The denominator is $36 trillion. So only in healthcare can we say that actually $140 billion savings is a trivial amount of money, actually, because that's the kind of money that we're dealing with in the healthcare reform debate. Now, let me quickly talk a little bit about the quality, and I find it rather ironic that every year, ARC puts out a National Healthcare Quality Report, and they begin their report with this statement. We find that healthcare quality in America is suboptimal. Now, I actually had the opportunity to give the first testimony on single payer in front of Congress, and I made that statement in front of them, and the guy, the ranking member, actually took umbrage that America could even have suboptimal healthcare. But frankly, as Jonathan pointed out, for the money that we spend, we really are suboptimal for the kind of quality we deserve. And then finally, as already has been pointed out, some 50 million Americans have no health insurance in this country. So obviously we need to do something about healthcare reform in this country, but let me start off by saying that there is no domestic issue that is more divided than healthcare in this country, that in fact it is the reason why the Tea Party was spawned in many ways is a reaction to the creation of the healthcare reform debate. And the most recent polling data just like three days ago suggests that Americans are actually starting to lose favor about what's going on with the Affordable Care Act, even though this was the signature issue for the Obama administration for the first 2 years of his administration. And for the Republicans, of course, they believe the plan is way too big, it's a government takeover, and that in fact they vow that this will be a deciding issue for the 2012 presidential election. There's a lot at stake out here, and when you're talking about $2.7 trillion, it is not surprising that the lobbying groups are willing to spend $1.2 billion to affect the outcome of this healthcare reform debate. And not surprising, they don't spend this money trivially. They get what they want, and in many ways, the healthcare reform debate that came out of this Congress reflects much of the wishes of the insurance and pharmaceutical industry. But this is all to say, actually, quickly, that we have the most expensive healthcare reform system in the world. If you look at this graph put together by National Geographic, there's this red line that sort of looks way up in the left side that is the per capita amount of spending we spend in the United States, and all the other countries sort of are grouped down together, lower down. If you plot on the right side, life expectancy, you would hope that maybe our life expectancy would be far better, and then you might justify and say, well, we spend a lot of money, but at least we live longer. But we can't even have the privilege of saying that we live longer, because the amount of money we spend actually puts us only in the middle of life expectancy with all these other countries. This is how Barry Anderson, who was the deputy CBO, I think, director, characterizes this, if this shows up. And not surprising, oh no, I can't believe the movies are not going to show up here, are they? Oh, here it is.
It's trying to load.
Oh, it's trying to load. Oh. All right, so here it goes. I'll close the others. Oh no. Did they?
There's no sound. There's no sound.
I told these guys to put the sound on.
The difference, the number one country is the U.S. with 16%. The number two country is France and Switzerland. I think they're tied, and sometimes they go back and forth at 11%. And then all the average is just below 9%. Here is that you look at statistics long enough, you never see differences between number one and number two that large. I mean, it just accepts.
Well, you know, he sort of reluctantly had to admit that maybe single payer was a better way of doing this. So, let me see. Now, here's another part of this whole equation that no one really talks about. But there are three dirty words in every state government, that's retiree health care. This New York Times headline simply illustrates this. The state of New York alone has $200 billion of health benefits they have to pay the retirees, and they have set aside nothing for this. In the state of New York. This is how Chris Christie, who is the governor of New Jersey, talks about this issue on 60 Minutes.
This is different, isn't it?
It is very different. And the reason it's different is because the only choices left are choices that people previously have said were politically impossible.
Let's talk about the pension obligations.
Sure.
$46 billion unfunded liability for pension. And $66 billion unfunded for health care liability.
Even bigger. $66 billion.
Yes, sir.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money even for the federal government.
That's a lot of money.
I mean, the point here is that every state is getting buried by this retiree health care cost. And the truth is that if you add it up to all the money, this is something you never hear about in the news, $530 billion the state and local governments owe, which is the reason why all the states are going bankrupt in this country. It's all health care. The only thing that will save actually state and local governments and allow you to do your programs that you need to do in public health is that if we could discount all future health care costs, if we had a single-payer system for this country, you could actually take all this retiree health liability off the balance sheets and save this country. The truth is, the other part of this is this jobless recovery in this global economy, because the truth is, why would you hire any American? Why would you be stupid enough to hire an American if we have the most expensive health care per capita in the world? Other countries that actually have a universal health care system and have a single-payer system actually are able to produce things. And what does it mean for a nation when we stop making things in this country? The truth is that people say, well, Obama, you should really talk about jobs and not about healthcare. But the truth is that employer-sponsored health insurance is the major single benefit and cost for most employers. In fact, for General Motors, the cost of healthcare is more expensive than the actual steel that goes in their car, which is why people often say that GM is really an HMO that happens to make cars. This is another way of looking at this issue. And if you were actually to plot by the Bureau of Labor Statistics what jobs look like, in green is actually job growth, And red is job loss in America. And back in 2007, this is what Detroit looked like. And there was some job growth. But over 2008 and then up through 2009, this is what America looks like. So if you want to know why Americans are in such a terrible mood, this graph sort of illustrates it. Now, why would a U.S. manufacturer, for example, move overseas? Well, look, in the United States, we spend $7,300 per capita on health care. Taiwan, $800. Our administrative overhead, 31%. Taiwan's 1.6%. Now, if you're Apple Computer, you could build your computers in the Silicon Valley, or you could hire Foxconn, a Taiwanese company, who actually gives a million jobs over in Asia, essentially because to build the iPads and computers that we have in this country, that have populated this country. And that helps the technology over in China, but it doesn't help us really in this country. We've spent $19 billion for an economic stimulus package, but think about it. If anyone's ever programmed a computer, how would you actually write a health information technology program with such a dysfunctional 1,300 private health insurers, all with different rules and regulations? It's a disgrace, frankly. This is what they do in Taiwan about this whole issue, which is part of the reason why their administrative costs are so much cheaper than ours.
New health system using state-of-the-art information technology. Everybody here has to have a smart card like this to go to the doctor. The doc puts it in a reader, and the patient's history, medications, etc., all show up on the screen. And then the bill goes directly to the government insurance office and is paid automatically. So Taiwan has the lowest administrative costs in the world, less than 2%. Compare that to the endless paperwork and all the denied claims we get with for-profit U.S. health insurance.
So the point here is that Taiwan, that smart car technology, I should tell you, was invented here in America. But we don't use it here in America. We give it to people in Taiwan, which is actually great for that company, but it's not good for this country. There is a country that actually has 1.2 billion people, and they have a labor shortage. And it's not surprising that it helps my relatives in China, but it does not help this country. The fact is that we're killing ourselves, and part of the reason why we're killing ourselves is because we have a totally dysfunctional and inadequate healthcare system. So what about our enormous debt, which is actually driving what's going on in Washington right now? I mean, we have actually a $14.3 trillion debt for this country. And here's Obama on this issue.
That our long-term debt and deficits are not caused by us having Head Start teachers in the classroom. Our long-term debt and deficit are caused primarily by escalating healthcare costs.
So we don't want to talk about this, but the truth is that we're going to have to reopen this healthcare reform debate. Because if you really want to talk about the national deficit and the reason why we're $14.3 trillion in debt, it's because of healthcare costs, folks. And, the solution is not slashing Medicare and Medicaid. The solution is being much more efficient and smarter about actually how we provide healthcare in this country. And we can do that with a single-payer system. We spend twice as much as the rest of the world on healthcare. We've used 50 years of expensive market-based medicine. It doesn't work anymore. Our healthcare system costs too much. It covers too few. It hurts too many Americans. So we are, as I mentioned, slashing Medicare and Medicaid in order to try to do something about this $14.3 trillion. But what's not talked about and not on the table is the fact that we need a single-payer healthcare system. It's the only way we can provide quality, affordable healthcare for all Americans. Now, here's what David Walker says about this, the former Comptroller General of the United States.
Fiscal challenge for the federal government. It's the number one fiscal challenge for state governments, and it's the number one competitiveness challenge for American business. We're going to have to dramatically and fundamentally reform our healthcare system in installments over the next 20 years. And if we don't, it could bankrupt America.
And if we don't, it will bankrupt this country. So how tough are our choices? But this is about as tough as it gets, frankly, because what I'm talking about bankrupting the private health insurance industry in this country, which nobody wants to talk about. But as David Walker says, your other choice is to bankrupt this country. And nobody wants to discuss the fact that if we bankrupt this country, we won't have a country anymore. So the way I have to say is the choice is pretty clear. For the sake of controlling healthcare costs, for the sake of actually bringing back American jobs in this country, for the sake of actually balancing our national deficit, and most importantly, we cannot leave our children this dysfunctional healthcare system. For the sake of our kids' future, it is time for us to fight for a single-payer health plan for this country. Thank you very much.